Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, April 12th. Happy Saturday! I hope you're enjoying a wonderful Saturday as we approach Palm Sunday tomorrow. Let's go over our memory verse one more time for this week. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Our Old Testament passage is Zechariah chapter 8, verses 9 through 13. Zechariah was written during the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. And the first six chapters are meant as an encouragement to those who are rebuilding the temple. Then chapters 7 and 8, they talk about the quality of life God wants his renewed people to enjoy. And that's where we'll read from today. And then the last six chapters have a lot of puzzling references to the struggles that Israel will endure as they continue to learn what it means to be God's people. But let's turn over to Zechariah 8. We'll be reading verses 9 through 13. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words, let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said, who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Before that time, there were no wages for people or hire for animals. No one could go about their business safely because of their enemies, since I had turned everyone against their neighbor. But now, I will not deal with the remnant of the people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. The seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people, just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations. So I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. In Zechariah chapter 8, Zechariah is giving the people a pep talk. He is encouraging them to be strong and to keep working, even in the difficult times, because he is changing their future. And he says in verse 13 that they will be a blessing. It says, and so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. As I was thinking about what this could mean for us today, one, it's just remembering our history, that we are a people of God, and that God continues to rebuild us. Even when we sin against him, when we are restored, he is in the business of blessing us. As one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 130, says, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. So this idea that the Lord can redeem anything. And then in situations perhaps where you feel like you're rebuilding something, as the people of Israel were rebuilding the temple, it's easy to get tired or feel frustrated or not want to continue on in God's work. But this passage is encouraging us to keep going. Even when we're making small progress, like the people were making on the temple, we can know that God is working in our midst. Our passage from Mark today is Mark 3, 1 through 19. And this is about Jesus healing on the Sabbath, crowds following Jesus, and Jesus appointing the 12. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit about Jesus healing the man on the Sabbath. Wouldn't you just love to have been there when Jesus said, "Stretch out your hand," and a withered hand became a strong, fleshy, powerful hand? It had to be just an amazing sight. And yet, the Pharisees had such hardness in their heart, such focus on themselves and their, what they have made religion to be, that they could not see the good in Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath and because they were threatened by him. And so it says that they went out and they started to plot how they might kill him. After this, Jesus tried to withdraw from the people and the crowds, but he couldn't. People from everywhere started surrounding him, and he went out in a little boat because all the crowds were pressing in on him. It was probably quite the scene, especially those who were desperate because they had diseases. They wanted to fall down before Jesus and to be healed by him. And Jesus heals the people in front of him, but he often does so with the main purpose of evangelism. He heals their physical need, and then he reminds them that he can also be the one who is the spiritual healer. And we can come to Jesus with our need, and he will restore us to relationship with God the Father. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 is a good corrective for a cranky wife. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Tomorrow, I so look forward to the kids waving the palm branches in the middle aisle as the Christ candle comes to the front of the gym for our final worship service in the gym, hopefully for a very long time. Well, I take that back. It's not the final worship service. It's the final Sunday worship service. We'll also be in the gym on Thursday evening for the Maundy Thursday service. Will you pray with me? Father, your word is convicting and helpful, and your spirit is at work in my brothers and sisters even now. As we take a breath in, remind us of your presence. As we breathe out, remind us of your word. Help us to be a people who join you in whatever task you have for us, even when we don't see a ton of fruit. Help us to believe that you are at work. Thank you for the picture of Jesus, who shows us what you're like, Lord, our physical and our spiritual healer. We pray for those on our prayer list who do need a physical healing. And also, Lord, we pray for ourselves and others in the areas of our lives where we need spiritual healing. Help us to be about your work today. We love you, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.